Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Sam Anthony, and alongside me, Will Camilleri. Sam Ferentz, we don't know what happened to him.
He's disappeared.
We're going to put him on milk cartons. We've lost him. If you guys have seen a lost Samuel Elizabeth Ferentz, he's probably running around telling people that he's the ball boy for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's true.
And if not that, talking about how much he loves Pittsburgh, the city of Pittsburgh, making fun of Philadelphia.
Manchester United soccer.
Being really butthurt about something somewhere since he's constantly butthurt. All you got to do is make a joke at him or going way over the top for his girlfriend. I'm sorry, Addison, but it's true.
I mean,
you should appreciate that.
Yeah,
because he's super duper tryhard. The man the other day for this show came in and was like, "Oh, guys, I have to leave 5 minutes early. I have to drive to downtown Sewickley to pick up flowers." And then he was like, "Yeah, like I only spent like $50 on him," and I was like, "Oh my god!" You know, the nice thing is, I put off Valentine's Day with my girlfriend till this week, which means discounted Valentine's Day stuff.
Literally everything.
Chocolate. You know, she'll get everything because I can probably get it all for like $25. Thank God she does not listen to this show.
Are we sure about that?
Oh, yeah. there's no way that Morgan's like, "Oh, boy, an hour of Will and Sam talking. That's what I wanted to."
Hey, hold on. I think it needs an hour more of Will and Sam talking.
That's true because, you know, you come over when she's there. It's great. We'll be talking about sports and she just has no way to. Mm-hmm. I love it. Because I know she's just like, "What do I do?" And I'm like, "I don't know.
Listen.
Yeah, go
give
for
some
it.
Input."
Mm. All right. So we've bantered enough. To start the show.
Yes.
You know, as we know, we like to talk about
quality.
Sports here.
Yes.
And I think the biggest one, and I was there last night, and unfortunately I forgot Will and didn't bring him.
Yeah, thank you.
It's all right. I forgot if you were going too. Or not. Robert Morris, women's basketball, they were 11-1. They had just dropped their first game of the season, mm-hmm. and they went to St. Francis for the first time since they had lost mm-hmm. to the Red Flash in the NEC Championship game in Loretto. St. Francis was on a 6-game winning streak. A loss for Robert Morris would have put them just one game ahead of the Red Flash with 5 games left.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, that race would have been
tighter.
A lot tighter.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, man. Robert Morris, under the pressure, big moments. They came out. They executed. It was a back-and-forth game. I mean, I hate to use the cliche back-and-forth, but it was.
It
was
really
one of those
was.
Where, you know, you look like one team was going to pull away, and all of a sudden they were back in it. And all of a sudden it looked like, you know, St. Francis would pull away, and Robert Morris swings back into it. You know, again, it was 33-29 going into the end of the half, and then all
no,
of a sudden—
it was 33-32.
Hold on. I was getting there. Oh. Yeah. And then, you know, Nina Augustin hits a three. She hit 6 of their 10 threes. They were 10 for 39. She hit 6 of them.
Career high, 18 points.
And a career low— for Jessica Kovach with 6. You want to know how many points she scored against UConn?
8? 9. Wow.
Robert Morris held her to and only 9 shot attempts.
We're coming for you, UConn.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's bold.
Oh, man.
You know, though.
Slow your roll there. Oh, my gosh.
Despite all of this, somehow Jessica Kovach is still going to end up being like the NEC player of the week something.
Oh, well, I hope not the player of the week. I'd be pretty upset if you know, Nina Augustin with 18 points and 6 3-pointers and
but
a
it is the
huge
NEC.
Conference win. I mean, you're right. I mean, they might have this stuff tabbed in already.
I had a different perspective from normal where I watched on front row and wow. I don't know if the only announcers
wait,
they could
was
get
it Craig D'Amico on the call?
I have no idea. I don't.
Did they like shoot to them live at any point?
Probably, but the stream was so bad that I couldn't really tell.
Well, I like Craig D'Amico, and I saw him in the sheets afterwards.
So it probably was him. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know if they're from Loretto or something, but wow, that was an interesting game to listen to.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone in the NEC loves Jessica Kovach. Jessica Kovach is the darling of the NEC because she's so marketable. She's,
right.
I mean, she's too good. I mean, you know, she's the
Except
definition
when
of a player.
She isn't.
Yeah, I mean, for real. You know, again, as a journalist, I can't complain about certain things because I have to be unbiased. But
I can.
I do hate. It does bug me when everyone talks about Jessica Kovac, like she's really humble. But she'll be chirping the refs all game. Her and Zezza will be chirping the refs all game.
Speaking of which,
swearing. You don't see any of that from Robert Morris.
No, there was after. So last night, and I don't know what it was on. You were maybe you heard Zezza got a technical called against her.
She was mouthing off on the ref.
Okay.
Immediately, I don't know what she said, but she said something.
But immediately afterwards, they go to like the St. Francis team huddle, and both her and Kovac are doing like running their mouths. And I don't want to say what I saw, but at one point, one of the other players covered Zezza's mouth, which I was like, interesting that right after you get called for a technical, you're doing the same thing.
Yeah. You know, it's what's so intriguing to me about this whole storyline between Robert Morris and St. Francis is how literally they're the opposite. Like, in terms of how they play, the style of the players, because, you know, again, you have a team like St. Francis that is very star-built. They're driven by Kovac. They're offensively driven. Their defense is not. I mean, their defense was great, but again, the way their style is built is you're going to let up a lot of points.
Very different, yeah.
And then you know, you have Charlie Bisaglia, who really built his team off respect. And I mean, a player on that team swears.
Oh man, they're not playing for most of the game.
Yeah, you know, like it's one of those things where like it's like a handle yourself to a certain level. Yeah.
Be a professional.
Yeah. And that's what I love about this team is that, you know, again, and they, I don't know if you saw, they wrote an article about him in the Trib, Charlie, which by the way, did not know he has a 4-month-old baby.
Not good for him.
I know. Congratulations, Coach B. But I mean, you got to respect the fact that, I mean, the biggest thing to him isn't just, you know, who you're bringing on, but like, or not the, you know, not the skills of the person you bring on, but who they are as a person.
Exactly.
And, you know, that shows in that you maybe don't have the most overwhelming. I mean, because, like, here's the thing. You look at a player like Hanaki Ikemazu, she's great at three-point shooters. Same with Nina Augustin. Mm-hmm. But they're so little. I bet a lot of teams immediately write them off.
Yeah.
But then you see them hustle, and you see the way they play, and see how much they care about it. And you put them on the team because you know that they're going to grind, and if they're going to make the time to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see, you know, Nina staying after practice to shoot. I see Esther staying after practice to get more reps in. Like, all of these players really care about being good and being the best and staying the best, and they stay humble.
And it's very much a team atmosphere. Like, I was watching that game, and just the ball movement between, even if it was just around the arc trying to get into the lane somehow, was incredible. There were fast passes. They were changing it up. If somebody was in the way, they'd go to a bounce pass. Like, it was.
And you need good chemistry for that.
Right. And it's not an individual oriented team. And I feel like St. Francis is a very individual oriented team.
Yes.
Like, because all night, you hear like four names.
Yeah. I mean, it was Kovac on offense. And then you had Sam Sabino, who was also getting the action, Haley Thomas. And then you had Courtney Zezza in the paint.
Right. And that's it.
Yeah.
Who, like, could you tell me any other players on their team? I mean, you might be able to.
I could, but yeah.
But, I mean, I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I'm sure most people who don't follow
St. Francis women's basketball.
Right. Yeah. They couldn't. But if you just sat and watched that game, you could not tell me what the other 11 players' names were.
Yeah. I find that just so intriguing to me.
Yes.
Again, because at the end of the day, it's almost like, which style is better? And, you know, it for a while you couldn't tell because it was whoever the home team was won.
Right.
This was a huge victory to go into St. Francis because it wasn't a huge crowd last night. I'm not going to pretend like it was a full house.
No.
But it got loud.
Right.
And especially when at the end, you know, players are out there hitting shots. But this, to me, you know, again, is a great win for Robert Morris.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't let this win make you not be serious every time you play St. Francis. Because, you know what? Again, last year, they go beat St. Francis on the Megan Smith buzzer beater.
Right.
And that's
huge.
That
was a great game.
That was a great game. And I was sitting under the hoop, and I feel myself a failure as a photographer because I got too excited about it and didn't take the photo, which is like the cardinal.
You let your fandom overtake your
It's like the cardinal sin of photography, and I'll never be under the hoop for a buzzer beater ever again. And part of me tonight was like, last night, I was taking photos, and it was like the last minute, and I was like, don't put your camera down. Don't put it down. I was like, if anything happens, you got to capture this moment. Don't put it down. Don't put it down. And then it kind of was like all the action had happened before because Robert Morris built himself such a lead.
Yeah.
But still, the craziest thing to me was that, you know, again, you have the game on the line,
mm-hmm.
down by three, Kovac gets open on the baseline and misses. I mean, talk about rough.
Yeah.
Rough night for Jessica Kovac.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, it was at halftime, and I'm sitting there with, you know, Luke Yost and Mike Shuley and Aiden Patel, and, you know, they're talking about how, you know, Luke Yost is like, this is exactly what you want. You want to control Kovac. They'll do this the whole game. They've clearly figured her out.
Hmm.
And I was like, last time they came to St. Francis during the regular season, it was close at halftime, and then Kovac exploded for 21 points in the third quarter, and they won.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think it just goes to show how hard this team has worked to not let that happen again.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, I mean, there are, and obviously losing to Mount St. Mary's is not what you want.
Yep.
But I feel like the main kind of opponent in the NEC of Robert Morris is St. Francis. And mm-hmm. I know there St. Francis is tied with Sacred Heart and St. Francis Brooklyn, but there's not the same...
You're not worried about them as much as you are.
It's not the
St.
same
Francis.
Rivalry effect.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, as a Robert Morris standpoint, I think it very much puts a good versus evil kind of yeah. battle going down, where last season evil triumphed, and hopefully this season, you know, the good of Robert Morris, the teamwork, the heart, and the respect will triumph over the individuality, the
mm-hmm.
bad mouthing, and the, you know.
Well, here's the intriguing thing about the NEC tournament this year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for Robert Morris, the road is harder. I think last year it was so top heavy because it really was just St. Francis and Robert
yeah.
Morris. There was no other conversation.
Right.
I think you're looking at a team like Bryant that could be that 8 seed against the Robert Morris 1 in that first round, and all of a sudden that becomes a tough matchup. Even if they got CCSU in mm-hmm. the first round, that could be a tough matchup. All of a sudden, you're going to a potential semifinal game where you could be playing Sacred Heart or St. Francis Brooklyn, who, again, they have to play them both again, you know, see how that goes. Two teams that clearly, you know, have proven themselves outside of just Robert Morris.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the championship game. Do you get St. Francis or does something happen? Because, again, you have to think back to that 3-game losing streak St. Francis had before mm-hmm. the 6-game winning streak. You know, they started 3-3 in conference play. And, you know, people forget about that because of the 6-game winning streak, and all of a sudden they're mm-hmm. back at the top.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this could be a really wacky conference tournament. I don't
yeah.
really want to sit here and go, wow, like the road's clear for Robert Morris, because it's not. The road is, it's almost like confusing, you
yeah.
know?
I mean, I think the end of this season will be very telling. Because, like you said, they still have a few difficult games to play. You have Sacred Heart, you still have St. Francis, and you have St. Francis Brooklyn again coming up this weekend. So, I mean, I think my mind will be a lot more at ease if they come out and dominate these next 5 games. Because
yes.
if that happens, I mean, you're playing who you're going to play in the tournament.
Yes.
And a lot of it is at home. The only road game would be, I mean, they're Wagner and Sacred Heart, but the only kind of largely implicative game is Sacred Heart on the 4th. But, I mean, it's going to be a crazy ride. I think it'll be a very interesting storyline to follow this team because, especially with Megan Callahan going down, I don't think anybody really expected much going into this year. And then having that rough... non-conference part of the season going in, I mean
the expectations were lower.
I thought they were going to be, you know, I thought they were going to compete. I didn't think they'd start out, you know, 11-0 and beat St. Francis in St. Francis and all this crazy stuff that's happening. So I still think it's incredible that their average scoring margin is 20 points in, I mean, a league like this where I feel like defense doesn't get as much credit as it should just because the level of play isn't at a point where like defense can dominate except here.
Yes. You know what I hate about the Robert Morris style of play?
Hmm.
Is that because of it, it keeps people around.
What do you mean?
Like Robert Morris, like typically against a team like St. Francis with such a great offense,
uh-huh.
you're never going to blow them out in a win.
Right.
But if Robert Morris is going to lose to them, it's a blowout because that's how St. Francis plays.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that sucks.
Yeah. And it does, I mean, it does change the way people, especially around this campus, look at the team because they see, you know, when we win, we only win by whatever, except when we do blow out teams by 20, which has happened more recent, like this season. But they see the, you know, 61-55 loss or the, you know, getting beaten by, you know, these non-conference teams. And it kind of dissuades interest because they're like, oh, they're only winning by however much.
Yeah.
Which isn't, like, you can't judge, especially with in this conference, you can't judge the game based off the final score.
Yeah.
The only thing you can judge is who won and who lost. That's all you can tell. Everything else, you have to look at the stats. You have to be there and see, which, I mean, for me is enough motivation to go. But I also love sports, so it is kind of tough to justify that to the rest of the student body. I do think having the women's conference, the playoffs, after spring break will increase attendance, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's always been tough when RMU's been the one seed and made it. It was difficult having to get students there because it's spring break.
And do you think the change was made in terms of, because is spring break earlier than it usually is?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's because of the way the calendar is set up. And it's also, I believe it is because of where Easter is part of it.
Yeah.
So because of that, our school schedule is off by like a week or something.
Well, that works for me because, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to Tampa.
Right.
And I was kind of like, dang it. I just want to point out, you know, what's awesome. The NEC championship game,
mm-hmm.
St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, boy.
So get a win in the afternoon, go out that night.
Celebrate the win.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Can they just bring the NEC championship trophy to the bar?
That would be.
We all be like, whoa! Yeah. And they'd be like, people downtown Pittsburgh don't even know where Robert Morse is. And they'd be like, let's go!
Coach B, you just won the NEC championship. Where are you going?
Jailhouse Saloon. Carson City Saloon. Catch me at the Tiki Bar.
Oh, man.
Where do you think Charlie Biscali goes for a drink?
His house?
Yeah, he definitely just has like a bar with like five TVs where he just sits and watches basketball. He
analyzes the game.
He does. He definitely, but it's all just his own game tape, all right? It's just five different games going at once, and he's like, ah. He's like, Nina, gosh darn it. What the heck are you doing out there? And it's like, coach, that game was from 2 months ago. Always got to break down the tape.
Yeah.
We got one TV that's just constantly Jessica Kovach, so he can scout her all the time.
I did think it was funny during the broadcast, they pointed out that Sal was there.
In his little corner?
No, he was right behind, for a while, he was right behind the bench.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was sitting up in the corner to start.
Because they, like, pointed him out. They're like, oh, trying to be inconspicuous over there. And I saw the, the shot of both benches. And he's, like, the only one. There was, like, three people. And I was like, huh, I wonder who this one singular old man sitting by himself is.
Yeah. You know, I love it. I love that he loves this team so much. Mm-hmm. I always make awkward eye contact with him because he knows who I am and I know who he is, but like we don't really like.
Right. You've never had that like.
No.
I mean, like, you've been around Coach B a lot more.
Oh, yeah. Coach B's my guy.
Yeah.
I love Coach B. I it was really funny. We were at the press conference last night and I was the first one to ask a question. He's like, oh, hey, Sam, how are you? Before I get my question, I'm always like, good, coach. How are you? And he goes, everything's going. I've never seen a man so happy after the win because like usually after a win, like he just kind of looks like, all right. Like
on to the next one.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, he's just kind of like, it's all part of the journey, but he definitely like I even saw Scott Snyder, the assistant head coach, mm-hmm. with like a little fist pump at the end. Like they were amped.
Yeah. I mean, because it's a tough game and it's there. They are.
Oh, they're the rival.
Our rival.
It's the only, yeah. To me, this has been the only real true rivalry in our time of Robert Morris. Like, I'm mm-hmm. sorry. Football versus Duquesne is not a rivalry. No. Even men's basketball, they're 0-8. In our 4 years against St. Francis.
Yeah. Wait, I thought they still play them one more time.
No, they lost this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Yep, 72-61.
Right, yeah. Against some, you know, because
do you hear the controversy against that?
that there was a penalty called on us earlier in the game that was exactly the same as the non-call right at the last second.
Well, they called an offensive foul against Robert Morris at the end.
Yeah.
Which I personally, I watched that over a couple times. It was an offensive foul. He did a heck of a job planning and going down quick. And the thing was, is that you got to know, you know, again, this guy was smart enough to be like, yeah, like he's going to try and draw the foul at the end. And for them, it was a smart move because odds are Malik Petaway was probably going to miss one of those free throws.
Mm-hmm.
So it ends up being a tie game. And even if it doesn't, you still have time on the clock.
Right.
You know, like it was a smart, smart move on their part.
I heard that there was a call earlier in the game that was called on Robert Morris that was the same play as, I guess, Maddie had the ball again to end the game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't called then. And neither time it was a foul. But the argument that I heard was if you're going to call it earlier against us, then you by default have to call it later for us. That's how, you know, that's parity. Yeah. That's being fair. Yeah. That's doing your job.
Yeah. I'm not saying the NEC refs do a good job.
No, they don't.
Because I don't think they do.
No.
But someone started a controversy that the refs were like being paid off or like working in favor of St. Francis.
I mean, people say that every game. I mean,
but this was like fans at Robert Morris legitimately believing that like the only way that they, you know, had lost to St. Francis twice was that there was a controversy where the refs were trying to make St. Francis win the conference,
or that I don't know, St. Francis is better than us,
or you know, when you are in tight games like that, sometimes the calls don't go your way.
Right.
But here's the thing. You can compete with the best team in the conference. Go win in the conference tournament.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, like, it's all about getting in.
Thank you, Sam. That's, yeah, I couldn't think. My mind wasn't wrapped around that. But, yeah, that's honestly only game that matters.
As long as they get in. They could still not get into the NEC tournament if they lose out, which is shocking and awful.
Wow, yeah. For leading through, like, three quarters of the season.
Yeah, you know,
they got to
beat the teams like Mount St. Mary's. Yeah, I mean, it's almost reflective of last year where they started off great and ended up being the 8 seed, 7 seed, 7 seed.
Yeah, because was it last year that they? No, it was 2 years ago they beat LIU Brooklyn.
And they and then last year they beat another notable team in the first round.
And then lost to Mount St. Mary's.
Yes.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. No, it was last year because Kayvon hit that buzzer. Peter against LIU Brooklyn.
That was last year?
That was last year.
When we watched it in the newsroom?
No, you're right. That was 2 years ago because Kayvon wasn't there last year. I keep, you know, there's too much happening. Too much going on.
It's all right. We're fine. So we are currently tied for second with St. Francis, Brooklyn, Wagner, Fairleigh Dickinson, and Sacred Heart. All at 8-6.
Wow. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, this you got to think about how important this weekend is in terms of you have a good weekend, you win both games, all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, all right. You know, there's effectively zero chance Robert Morris will get the 1 seed because of the fact that St. Francis has won both games and has the tiebreaker in a 7-game win streak, and they're probably not going to, you know, drop all of their games.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're Robert Morris, you're sitting there going, all right, a 2 seed would be a 2 or a 3. Because then you still really have the chance of an upset happening and hosting the NEC championship games, you know, if you get there. You know, right. I hate talking about it. There's 4 games left. You got, you know, 1 home game remaining, and that's St. Francis Brooklyn on Saturday. You have LIU Brooklyn.
I think LIU Brooklyn's home.
Oh, you're right. It is home. Them.
They just put it in wrong.
Oh, you're right. Because it's also, yeah.
Because it's bolded and they already played.
And they're giving away those t-shirts that we're going to wear on spring break.
That's right. Which you have to get me one because I have night class.
Oh, I'll get you one. Thank you. I'll talk to my people. I think hopefully it's somebody I know.
Extra large.
Annie Miller's not here. So
I know. Talk to Marty. We know Marty.
Oh, that's true. I'll be like, Marty, can I get it? Actually, you know, I know enough people. I'll make it happen.
That's true. Thanks, bud.
If not, I'll like loop around and be like, oh, I never got a shirt. Yeah. Extra large. Are you sure you need an extra large? You look kind of small. I like it big. but yeah.
Like, so you got room to move.
Yeah, when I'm at the beach. But yeah, 2 home games. Mm-hmm. LIU Brooklyn and St. Francis Brooklyn. You know, you got to win the 2 at home. Mm-hmm. You got to, because it's going to be a lot harder to go to Sacred Heart and Wagner to close out the season. Their games aren't during spring break either, are they? They're probably a Thursday game during spring break. It's the first round of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
That's disappointing. Why is it got to be, you know, on spring break? What the heck, man?
We could always stream it from Florida.
No.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. We're going to be enjoying ourselves some spring training baseball.
Yep. Wednesday, we would actually, yeah, so we just missed the first round.
Darn.
In case you're wondering. But we'd be there for the semifinals and the championship.
Nice.
If Robert Morris, you know, did it and hosted somehow. But
I wonder if it does end up where the championship game, and I'm not saying this is going to happen because it very well could not, but if the championship game ends up being RMU St. Francis, PA.
Going to St. Francis, PA.
Does RMU send a bus or something?
Yes.
Yes?
100%.
Okay.
It's a 3-hour ride. Of course they do. I mean, you would feel that. By the way, you want to know what they call the student section for the Red Flash? They have one now.
Oh boy.
It's called they like put it behind one of the hoops where there was no bleach pour. It's the Flash Flood.
Huh.
It was awful.
Why
it's not
good. Flash Mob. I feel like that would be
Yeah, I was like, the Flash Flood's not. It was like a red wave.
They could all do coordinated dances.
Yeah, because they could all, like, when the opponent's shooting free throws. Oh, yeah, you could have done so much stuff.
Wow, look at that.
They also put it on the side of the hoop that the away team gets first, and you would think you'd want it on the side the away team gets last, so that, you know, at the end of the game, if there's, like, free throws on the line, you have the whole student section getting loud.
That's true, but, I mean, RMU, I don't know. And granted, I don't know what I was going to say. I lost it.
That's fine.
Where do you think the Colonial Crazies will end up in the UPMC Event Center and the People's Court?
There's going to be like some corner they end up in.
I think they'll be behind one of the baskets because I think that's what this setup is doing right now, where they have like all the students sitting behind and near.
What are your thoughts on students getting paid to run around in red stretch suits?
That's happening?
Yep. They're going to be called the Red Rebels.
What's the point of Romo then?
Well, these guys are supposed to be like more rowdy and to like get more student involvement.
Oh.
I just want a really fat kid in one of those.
So are they both going to be in AXP or is it just...
Yo! Yikes! Probably.
Because, I mean, I love that they show up every game. I think it's great because
they're the best.
It's really annoying that even, like, especially when the teams are good. Like, I can understand nobody showing up to the games of teams that are really bad. But, like, if they're good,
Well, it's been filling, though.
Yeah, it has. But granted, it's also been, you know, they only sit however many people.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to fill. I mean, the first few games of the Event Center are going to be packed just because it's brand new and people are going to go to that. But once that kind of new appeal has worn off, like, it just, I hope that student involvement remains high after kind of that new car smell wears off the arena.
Yeah, I hope so too.
And it will help if the teams are good. So how about they just not suck? That would be great.
Yeah, that would also be a plus. I would also thoroughly enjoy.
But I don't know, and this is why I'm not, you know, an athletic director or director of marketing or anything like that. But I don't know what it would take to get students to games.
Yeah.
I mean, they're offering free, essentially free beer and wine to students over 21 for an hour before the game for free, and people still don't go.
Hey, sorry, this is like a side note.
No, it's fine.
It looks like they redid the format for the women's tournament again. You know how it was pods last year?
I thought it was pods again.
No.
No?
Does not look like it. It goes,
is it still?
Games held at campus sites, higher seed, host all games. Teams will be reseeded after quarterfinals.
Okay, so the semifinals are... No. It's like the men's then.
Yeah, it's just the same.
But I think it's a pod. Oh no, never mind. Never mind.
I'm
thinking about the quarterfinals, thinking they're the semifinals.
Yep. So sorry, that was just a side note I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super excited for the postseason this year.
Yes.
Because it looks like both men's and women's basketball will be very good.
I think even men's and women's hockey will be very good as well.
Yeah. men's hockey can always make a run.
I can't comment on men's hockey because I really have no idea. Because I feel like every time we're like, oh, you know, they're gonna not do anything. They go and win win the championship game.
Yeah.
And then when they're like, okay, we should dominate. Like, just this should be a warm up to the tournament, the NCAA tournament, and they lose in like the first round. And you're like, how does this happen? So I've given up on making predictions for men's hockey because I don't know. And also, can we talk about how Marat is the all-time leading winning goalie of Robert Morris?
I know.
And it took him 3 years.
Yeah. Well, you got to think about it. You have guys like Isaac that looked like they were going to get there and they got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Schaefer, who, you know, went from starter to backup to starter. Marat's been the first guy, I think, that's had, you know, consistent time in net since freshman year.
Mm-hmm. And they've also only been around for 15 years, so there hasn't been a lot. But still, I do think it's a feat to show that, you know, we have a solid goaltender, and the fact that we are losing so many games isn't necessarily his fault.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I try not to let that thought slip into my mind because I know, kind of as a hockey fan, that it's not always the goalie's fault. But there have been times where I've doubted his abilities, but I do think as the defense grows around him, there'll be a force in the next few years.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree.
Did he redshirt his freshman year, or is he a true junior? Do you know?
He's a true junior.
Yeah. Okay, so we have this season and next season.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, for him, I think he deserves...
He deserves a tourney berth.
Yeah. So, men's hockey, make it happen.
Yeah, for real, though.
Then you have women's hockey, who's in first still, except they got blown out by Lindenwood this weekend, which I don't know how or why that happened, but apparently... they're making shots that just wasn't – the puck wasn't bouncing their way.
Yeah, they had some ridiculous shot total. Lindenwood's always their kryptonite. There's always one loss against Lindenwood every year that you're like,
why?
Lindenwood?
Yeah, like why? And it's like – it's always that one game that like keeps them out of the top 10 rankings and all that stuff. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, come on. Like,
I got over the top. That used to be exciting to me and I used to care. Yeah. I just want to make the tournament.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's the big thing at the end of the day.
Because
like,
when you have half the top 10 not make the tournament because of conference championships and whatnot, it loses its appeal.
Yeah.
It's
crazy, though. I mean, you think about it, I mean, there's 4 games left, and then, again, the CHA tournament, which goes on during spring break.
Is it the first weekend or second weekend?
It's Wednesday to Friday.
Really?
March 6th to March 8th. Yes. And then...
In Buffalo?
Yep.
Why isn't it... In the past, it's been over the weekend.
I know. Probably just scheduling whenever they can get it. Because I know men's is also in Buffalo this year.
Really?
Yes.
It's not in Rochester?
Nope, they moved it.
No way.
Yeah. I wouldn't lie to you about these things. Yeah.
Oh, well, now, you know, it's fine now that they're just going to be at the home of Canisius.
Yeah. So, and the men, and we, as we know, the men's hockey tournament goes a lot longer than
that. That's true. They do, but they also have a lot more teams.
Yes,
that's
the big thing is, you know, you
and they have that play-in weekend beforehand, which I think they said if the season ended this past weekend, we would be going to Army.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a chance to get, you know, what is it, 8 more points?
You want to go to West Point with me?
Not particularly.
I got a friend up there. She's kind of cool. I know people everywhere. I'm Sam Anthony.
Yeah, I know. For those of you that don't know Sam Anthony, he knows everybody, so you should get to know him because...
You should. I'm really interesting.
Let's...
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. All right. So we're winding down on this show here.
Yeah.
I'm stretching. So I looked at the bracketology for women's basketball.
Uh-huh.
They are currently projected to be a 16 seed in a lot of them. ESPN hasn't updated theirs yet, and they should have done it yesterday, and I'm really bitter about it.
And it's also ESPN. Yeah.
I know, and it's women's basketball.
Yeah.
But the other ones I've found have said they're going to either play Baylor or Oregon.
Ooh. Both would be fun.
Yeah, I know.
I'd love to go to either of those games.
I can't afford to go to either of those. Well, I could go to Baylor. I could make that happen. I can get a plane ticket to Waco, Texas. Oregon, that'd be, hey man, that'd be a way to end senior year, trip to Oregon.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so.
Do you know, when does March Madness start as opposed to the women's tournament?
That's a good question. I do not know.
Because I think men starts after, but because I think that's usually what happens, but I could be wrong.
Women starts after.
Women starts after.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if RMU was to win the men's NEC playoffs, would they have a play-in game, or do you think they would just be a 16 seed?
Play-in game.
Play-in game?
Yeah. I think that they are, at this point, would be a lower tier 16 seed.
Yeah.
Just because they haven't, if they had dominated, you know, yeah. Again, I'm a really big proponent in the argument that if Robert Morris women's basketball wins out the rest of the way, I think they should be a 15 seed.
Yes, I agree.
Do I think they will get one?
No.
No.
Because they're going to use the losses in the non-conference and that loss to Mount St. Mary's against them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it had been a 55-54 game, I think they probably would still be, in their eyes, would still be a 15 seed. But because it was by six or seven, I believe, I don't think it'll happen. Which is extremely frustrating because, like, we've seen this team all season and we know that they deserve the 15 seed.
I agree.
But, you know, the NCAA doesn't always agree with that.
Yeah.
And it's also why we don't work for the NCAA, because what do we know?
It's true. All right, so next question for you. I think we talked about this. So RMU women's basketball got a vote in the mid-major top 25 poll mm-hmm. last week.
Mm-hmm.
Do they get votes this week as well?
Yes.
I agree.
I mean, because they lost in that time. They lost to Mount St. Mary's,
but they also had a big win.
But they had a win against the team that could have beaten them.
Yes,
for the first place spot. So yes. I think it'll stay around the same. You said they got one vote last week.
I could argue seeing it be the same.
Yeah, it'll be somewhere between zero and probably two or three.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair.
Because I wouldn't be surprised if because of the loss they dock them and they're out. But I could also see them putting more weight on the St. Francis game and then them gaining a point or two in the running.
Yeah, I could really see it, like you said, like breaking even.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Where is the defense ranked? Are they still top 25?
They should be.
Because I believe last we checked they were 17th, which was, I think we talked about that.
And they allowed, 61 and 60 this weekend?
Yeah.
So they will go up, but.
Not much because
they were at like 55.
Yeah.
All right. Go to the stats now. We're pulling it up.
Oh, boy.
Scoring defense. Moment of truth here, people.
Empty space. Empty space.
Oh, wow. Ooh. They are, as of February 18th through game, so not including the game last night. So it'll go up a little bit, but they are 10th.
Wow.
I know. Notable teams ahead of them, Drexel, VCU, James Madison, who they played earlier in the year, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
then you got Penn, Rice, Green Bay, LSU, North Carolina A&T, and then Robert Morris.
Hmm.
Wow. You know who they're ahead of? UConn. But, you know, UConn plays in a better conference.
Plays in a better conference, scores more.
Yeah. Let's see where this St. Francis scoring offense ranks. That's the other thing I want to see.
Because
mm-hmm. It was pretty high.
Kovach was, the number 8 shooter in the nation?
Was.
Then she put up a 6.
Yeah. St. Francis Brooklyn's up there.
Hmm.
Let me see. Hold on. Command F. St. Wow, St. Francis PA is not up. St. Francis Brooklyn has them beat.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Which, one of the Brooklyns isn't actually in Brooklyn.
Yeah, you had this whole thing about it. I think it was
St. Francis. They're in Brooklyn Heights.
Yeah.
Which may or may not be in Jersey.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably close enough. Yeah, Kovach is still, I mean, they haven't counted this game, but she's the 8th leading scorer, 22.5 mm-hmm. points per game.
Where do you think that drops to?
Well, she had 6 points.
You think it drops to 20?
I don't think it drops that low, like 21. I'm not that good at math. We're all just guessing.
Yeah, we don't have calculators or thought processes in front of us right now.
No, it's fine. We're doing great. We're killing the game. Yeah. But, I mean, it's so interesting to me how many ways this could go. And for conference season, I could either be really excited or just really extremely disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's going to be how it is either way, just because it's our last go around and we want them to win, so it's going to hurt all that much more.
Oh, dude. Because, it's not as exciting when you're not here.
Right.
Because you can't be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, like it was fun watching RMU play Duke our senior year of high school, but then you come in, you're like, okay, that's going to happen again, and it hasn't happened since.
I know. Andy Toole, please.
Please.
Please, Andy.
Please, give us this one. Every 4 years, if you want to go once every 4 years, it's fine with me as long as this is the one year.
That's what I'm saying. Yo, on a side note, spring practice today.
Yes, first one of the season.
I wish I could be there, but I have class.
I will be there.
So, it's all right. I'm going to try and go. I'll definitely be there for the spring game. It's at night. I'll definitely make that happen. I'll be like, let's go spring game. Unless, women's basketball's in the NCAA tournament, and then I'll probably be there.
That's true.
Priorities. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. Because we're not. I don't know.
I'm interested to see what this team looks like in spring practice.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, I can't comment yet, but.
Yes. But I think it'll be exciting. I think that there's a lot of different things you could see. I'm excited to see year two of Bernard Clark. I think that there's a lot of potential there. And, I'm assuming there's going to be some of the recruits that are here, right, for spring practice. Because usually you get a couple kids that, come out. Because I know that's what Matt Barr did when he first came here.
Yeah, I think they're called, gray shirts or something. Yeah. Where they graduate from high school early and
move so they can come out
in the spring semester. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you also have the transfer students from JUCOs and other schools.
Oh, that's right. You have a ton of those kids. A ton of those commits were JUCO kids.
Which I think just kind of that mid-major football in general is turning to that.
Which is smart. Mm-hmm. I think it's really smart.
Almost like the AAF and the NFL, but on a smaller level.
Joe, did you hear about the AAF, by the way? I saw this on Yahoo Sports.
Mm.
Apparently, they didn't have enough money to pay all their players.
What?
And so they had to, an owner from the NHL apparently stepped in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know which owner?
I do not. Hmm. But let's see.
Interesting.
AAF money. This is what I'm Googling, people. Let's see. Yep. Oh my gosh. You know how much this owner had to give them?
How much?
$250 million.
Beautiful. That means they couldn't pay anybody, because I highly doubt a lot of people are making a lot of money. In
the headline league. From Sports Illustrated. The Alliance of American Football is only a few weeks old, and it already has encountered the biggest problem that plagues most startup leagues.
Money.
Despite good ratings, running low on cash with the possibility of missing payroll before its second weekend of play.
Ooh.
Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon. I'm liking the Hurricanes more and more lately.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. Which, have you seen that somebody has a fake Atlanta Thrashers account?
Oh, no. I did see that.
Yes.
The not Thrashers.
And they're talking about one tweet, they said something along the lines of, maybe if we had celebrated after wins and, quote, played like jerks, we would still have a team. And somebody replied saying there was a team there two different times, and no matter what, you couldn't draw flies to those games, proving that Atlanta is not a hockey city.
Which is fine.
Which is fine because it's Atlanta, and why do you need hockey there? Yeah. You have so much other stuff.
All right. I wish I had this much money, by the way. This is my last note on this.
Uh-huh.
This guy who paid, $250 million is now the chairman of the league because he gave them so much money. Also, had just bought the Hurricanes last year for $420 million.
Oh, pocket change.
Yeah, only $770 million you're tossing around.
Well, have you heard about the owner of the Rams?
No. Oh,
Kroenke?
Yeah.
So he also owns Arsenal in England, but he also owns the Colorado Rapids, which is the MLS team. He owns the Colorado-affiliated National League lacrosse team. I can't remember their name. He owns the Avalanche, and he also owns the Nuggets. However, the Avalanche and the Nuggets are in his wife's name because there's a clause in the NFL that you can't own a team in a directly competing league.
That's really smart.
Right.
Wow.
So his net worth is, I think, $7 billion. Casual, you know, yeah, no big deal.
You know how this stuff goes. Yeah. I almost swore.
Oh, gosh.
I didn't do it.
Meanwhile, we're here discussing the importance of the NEC, which, by the way, I heard the All In Ball Out commercial about 70 times last night, and the way that they phrase it just makes it sound very awkward.
Well, here, in your honor, that's how we're going to close out this show.
Oh, gosh.
Ready? NEC Hoops promo, All In Ball Out, it's loading. It's the Barclays Center.
The game of basketball.
Of which, I just want to talk about how there's only two RMU players put in this entire thing, and it's Nia Adams and John Williams, I believe.
Hey, man, the RMU picks who they bring, so.
In the NEC.
It's true. We carry They're probably like, nah, we don't want to be associated.
We've been I like how they did this in some random gym in New Jersey, too.
That just gives us more to prove.
Well, give some
it's a
pr-
new day. A new brand of NEC basketball.
Oh, boy. I like how they shoot this like they're doing it in New York City. And, yeah, again, they were in, like, a tiny gym somewhere.
A brand that doesn't quit. Through adversity, we remain
The adversity is the fact that they're barely hanging on because they're the least relevant conference in the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can achieve more together.
Oh, also, there's Kovach.
I also love how they're like, Sacrifice. We've been disrespected or Blood, something. I'm like, yes, deservedly.
Yeah, the Big Ten is like, what is the NEC? Yeah. We don't know. Like, you know how many kids probably just don't know where, like, what I remember when I was a kid and seeing, like, LAU Brooklyn in the tournament, and I'd be like, who are they? Yeah. And now you're like, LAU Brooklyn, duh. And, like, yeah, I love this. Oh, this is incredible. You know what? This is pretty good editing.
Wait, hold on. Wait for the guy yelling at the end. It's really awkward.
Oh, man. Oh, we got the one guy with, like, the three
yeah,
things.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. Oh, I love watching this. This is so funny. Oh, my goodness.
That's so uncomfortable.
Don't play for yourself.
Oh,
play for
man.
The person next to you.
I feel like this
You know what I'd love in there? If we just had Kobe Thomas throwing down dunks.
100%.
If I were the NEC, I would have been like, you have to bring Kobe Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think they enjoyed doing it?
Ball out. Let's get it.
That was the most unenthusiastic ending.
That
ball in. Ball out. Let's get it.
All right, let's see what other videos. I have to look into this. This is. Oh, man. You got. All right. You got some decent stuff. They have NEC highlights on the. Wow, I didn't know that. Oh, man, we have All In for MLK Day. Oh, man, NEC Basketball's John Williams. Oh, this stuff's great. A nice 23-minute video. We're gonna listen to Good to Great. That's how we're going to close, all right? So any final thoughts?
I really hope everybody wins. Our teams win everything that we want them to so we can go to all of the NCAA games and be like, yeah, we're relevant.
All right, that's a great final thought. Yes, my final thought is if you see our Sam Farron somewhere, tell him to stop being so butthurt about everything.
Tell him to communicate when he's not gonna.
Yeah,
not
shoot
gonna
us a text.
Here. Yeah,
and
please,
you know,
Sam, we beg you.
Listen to this promo, Sam. Be good to great. All right.
All in, all right. Out.
See you next week, guys. This is Sam Anthony and Will Camilleri. Will Sam and Sam in the morning. Have a great rest of your day.
How do you want to be remembered? Every day is a new opportunity. Every day I do something to get better. Every day is a step in my journey. Go! Be better than you were yesterday. but not as good as you're gonna be tomorrow. Sweat the little things. Pay attention to the details. Because when opportunity knocks, it's too late to prepare.
I'll make the practice. Start to finish. Start to finish.
We both want to win. Who wants it more? You want to be good. I want to be great. You get to write your next chapter. What's it gonna be?